Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response to the day for the 8th of Elul. This is going to be Rav Chaim David Halevi about celebrating birthdays and several other issues. This is from Shut Aseh Lecha Rav, the 4th volume, the 26th Siman. Chaim David Halevi, let's remember, was a contemporary of Ravad Yosef, and he was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, Sephardic chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, after Ravad Yosef, and he held that position until his passing in 1998, and he writes some very interesting tshuvot. He does not date his own tshuvot, but I think he's such an interesting postscript that I allow myself to take tshuvot where he's responding to a letter from a certain date, because that's the best date we have on that responsum. I do this in the name of allowing ourselves to meet these great decisors and interesting thinkers who otherwise we'd not have a chance to meet. So, Rav Chaim David Halevi, Shut Aseh Lecha Rav, was asked about celebrating birthdays, whether there's a source for it, whether it's okay giving gifts, having a celebration, if it's okay, if the person who's writing the letter had heard that maybe it counts as chukot hagoyim. There is a pasuk in the Torah that says, v'chukotehem lo tilechu, we are not allowed to follow the ways of, really it means the idol worshippers. And that can come up in other contexts. We won't come up here. It'll be idol worshippers that we'll focus on. It's not necessarily non-Jews. It might just be idol worshippers. It might be all non-Jews. But if it's something there's their chuk, that's their practice and not our practice, we're not allowed to follow that. So the question is, are birthdays like that? So Rav Chaim David Halevi says, truth is, we don't find a lot of birthday celebrations in halakha, in Jewish sources. In the Torah, the only expression of a birthday, the only celebration of a birthday, as I pause here for a second and talk, you can think about yourself whether you remember whether there's a birthday in the Torah. It's in the case of, in the story of Yosef, it says that after the butler and the baker had the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim had their dreams, and Yosef interpreted for them. 3 days later was Yom Huledet et Paro, the day that Paro was born, and he made a mishteh, he made a great party. So that shows, according to Rav Chaim Halevi, he says, well, that shows that already back then in the ancient world, they were celebrating birthdays. But that might only have been for kings. It might have been the kings celebrated birthdays, possibly. So then he says, well, we have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that will give some indication that maybe some people celebrated their own birthdays as well, even back in the time of the Mishnah. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah starts off with the idea that we're not supposed to do business with idol worshippers right around the holidays of their idol worship. The reason for that was that the Chazal were worried that by us doing business with them, they would then use that money or use the positive experience of having done business well, having had a successful business day, that they would go and thank their idolatry, and we would indirectly be supporting or fomenting their worship of idolatry. So the Mishnah says we're not allowed to do business with them around their Yom Eid, their days of holidays, and then lists in later Mishnayot some examples of those Yom Eids, of those days that were not. So the Mishnah later in Avodah Zarah talks about Yom Ginusya Shel Malachim, the day of a king's Ginusya, we'll have to define that, and Yom Haleda, the day of birth. The Gemara on Yud Amud Aleph on 10a in Avodah Zarah says that Yom Ginusya was the day of their coronation. Yom Shem Ma'amidim Bo Malkam. And then Yom Haleda would be Kipshuto, right? Would be like it sounds like the day of birth. And Rashi in the Mishnah there says Yom Haleda Shem Melech. All the members of his kingdom make a holiday. And by a holiday here, we don't mean like a day off from work. We mean an idolatrous religious holiday every year to year, and they offer sacrifices to the idol. The theory would be that the idol, if you worshiped an idol, the idol had provided them this great king, and as part of celebrating this great king, they thank the idol for having done so well. Right? The Bar Tanura on the Mishnah also says the day that the king was born. So we haven't yet worked our way to showing there's an idea of a personal birthday, but there is a parenthetical comment here that I thought was kind of interesting, so we'll see it. And then I'll notice that not only does he put parentheses around it, he says, Kima Amar Muzgar, parenthetically, which is kind of interesting. People do this in English too. If you put a parenthesis around the comment, you can, but it's funny then to then say parenthetically. So in any case, from Chaim David Halevi says, Kima Amar Muzgar, as a parenthetical comment, the Me'iri on that Mishnah and Gemara interprets the words Yom HaLeidah Shel HaMelech as not the day of birth, but as kiblu alehem lemelech, hayu mistaklim bemimshelet eze kochav nolad. From the time the king was accepted as their king, they would look at the sign under which the king was born. So it's not the day of birth necessarily, it's the sign under which the king was born, and they would have a yom eid, they would have a idolatrous holiday for that star. So Yom Genusi is celebrating the actual day, and then the Yom Haleida would be celebrating the star, meaning that it's the star that he was born under, but the day of the star isn't necessarily his exact birthday. So Rav Chaim David Levi says, I don't know why he explains it that way. And says, if it's because he doesn't see an Avodah Zarah the other way for the birthday part of it, maybe the Meiri didn't even imagine how a birthday could be an Avodah Zarah. So this was his way of explaining how a birthday was an Avodah Zarah. He says, but there's Rashi. And Rashi says that on that day of the birthday, they would offer sacrifices to the idol. As the Meiri explains, by the way, Yom Genusia, on the day of the coronation, he understood, yeah, use that day and you celebrate the idol. I think it might be, I could be wrong, I don't know, but the Meiri, I think, might be saying that on the Yom Genusia, on the day that the king is of the king's coronation, he's made the king, so there an event happens of significance which you can then thank the idol for. But in terms of using the birth date itself as just a day when something remarkable happened, I think what the Meiri is saying is that's not the way idolatry worked. That there was the star that ruled that day, meaning in the Yom Genusia, the day itself is what happened, and you're celebrating the day itself, so you thank the idols for the day itself. But in the birthday itself wasn't an event, it was important until later when the king became the actual king. But the star, if you believe in such things, and we're not allowed to celebrate such things, whether or not we believe in them, but if the star, if you're crediting the star with having produced this king, so then it's the star you should be celebrating, not the day of the birth. So I think that might be what the Meiri is saying. So it's an interesting point where sometimes when you see somebody who says, I don't understand what they're thinking about, that and you sit down and think a little bit what they're thinking about, you get to a different perspective. The Meiri's perspective would seem to have been that the way the idolaters worked is they would celebrate actual events, but they were just celebrating anniversaries of births and things like that. They would relate it much more directly to the star that they were worshiping. In any case. But then Rav Halevi contrast Rashi and the Gemara with Rashi and Chumash, because Rashi and Chumash, which says, Yom who led it at Paro, the day of Paro's birth, Rashi there says, Yom Leidato, his day of his birth, V'korin lo Yom Genusia. And they call it the day of Genusia, but in the Gemara, Rashi had said, Genusia was the day that the king was coronated, that he became the king. And Rav Chaim David Levi says, and that's like a different opinion in the Gemara about how you understand Yom Genusia, and you don't understand it because then Rashi and Chumash is going against what the Gemara said. And he says, and worse than that, Yonatan ben Uziel in his very respected Targum, very respected translation, also translated Yom Huladet as Yom Genusia, as the day of, as both of them presumably being the day of birth, although Genusia always means advancing to the throne. So he says that he thinks that according to Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi of Arzara says, Yom Genusia Shel Melachim, he quotes our verse, Vayibi Yom Shishi Yom Huladet, that Yom HaLeida and Yom HaMita. That, and then the Yerushalmi says, Ad kan la tzibur mikan va'elach layachid. That when we talk about Yom HaGenusia, Yom HaLeida, that when we talk about Yom Genusia, which would be Yom HaLeida, Yom HaMita, that would be for the community, and then there might be a Yom HaLeida for the individual. And the Pnei Moshe, which is a very important commentary on the Yerushalmi, says, yeah, on the third day, when it says Yom HaLeidat, he says, Ad kan, when it says in the Gemara, Yom HaLeida, he says he thinks Yom HaGenusia was that on the king's birthday they would have a public national holiday, and then when the Mishnah said and also Yom HaLeida, that wasn't about the king anymore at all, that was every private individual would make their own religious idolatrous holiday for their birthday, Ad Kan L'Shono. So that is going to be his source for birthdays, and we'll come back to that in a second. But in his opinion then, Rashi, without letting us know it, just decided to follow the Yerushalmi interpreting Chumash, even though in the Gemara, in the Bavli, which is much more authoritative for Rashi, from Rashi's perspective, he went with the Bavli. That's an interesting way to reconstruct Rashi. Regardless of how we explain Rashi and Chumash, I think it's possible to say personally, I think sometimes Rashi and Chumash doesn't give the Gemara's full answer, because he's just going for the best interpretation or the easiest interpretation for right then. And those who want to study the Gemara and find out the actual halacha could do that, but that could be a different discussion. But you have a Yerushalmi for sure that understands the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah as referring to both a national holiday for kings, days of birth, Yom Kinnusya of kings, and that would be not their day they became king, but the day that they were born, but then a private holiday for each individual. And that, for Chaim David HaLevi, is now what we were looking for. It's a source for the idea that already in the ancient world, you had, first you have the power one, that could have been only for kings, but now the Yerushalmi that makes it clear that they think that individuals also would make a private, and they would make it a religious holiday from their idolatrous religion, they would make a religious holiday to celebrate the birthday. But that's all true only according to the world of Avodah Zarah, the world of idolaters, right? It's part of their, you know, sacrificial cult, as people will talk about it. They have a practice of sacrificing to their idols for various reasons and various purposes. So this is another one, right? And that would be a reason why we can't join them. And that's the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, as is well known. But that would all be about not wanting to learn from them in terms of how they celebrate their birthdays, and they made it an idolatrous holiday, and we can't do that. But that's not what we see anymore. So Rav Chaim David HaLevi says, it's not easy to know when those kinds of celebrations stopped and then were renewed with a new flavor to them. Or he says it could be that just they never stopped, but that slowly over time they morphed, they transmuted into something else. Whatever the roots of the practice, though, he says, he doesn't see any reason why today there's a problem with celebrating a birthday in the context of one's family, b'chug hamishpacha, around one's family, because the essential celebration is well understood. So this is going to be a question of, let's say you have a practice that starts with idolaters, we know of it from idolaters, but there's nonetheless a good, valid reason for doing so. So there, here he says, this is an example of that, because every year that somebody now, he's about to switch what a birthday is all about. He says every year that somebody gets more life, shekol shnav chayim noksefet, additional life, shezoche ba'adam, that a person merits, gives him and all of his relatives happiness and their happiness. So it's not a celebration of the original birth anymore in his reading. It's that the birthday is a time to notice that another year has come and the person has been granted another full year of life. So it's a celebration of the fact, not of having once upon a time been born, but the fact that one's life is continuing, which is not always the way people express it. They say happy birthday, as in we're here to celebrate that so-and-so was born and such that today. But the way he's reading it is, we're here to celebrate that so-and-so who was born on such a day, now we have an opportunity to notice he's had another full year of life. While it's true that earlier peoples did it in their way, celebrating their way by offering sacrifices to their idols, that we certainly couldn't do. But if a Jew wants to express his celebration and give a meal of thanksgiving to Hashem, or even, Chaim David says, a person who's not religious, a Jew, sadly, who's not connected to religion, but he's going to have a celebration, it doesn't have any idolatrous elements to it, because, as we said, that you're celebrating the day of the birth as a marker of the fact that you've lived another year and there's no Isser. So why should there be permission? He says that we should celebrate now. Just because they celebrate something doesn't mean we can't celebrate that thing. It means we can't celebrate that thing in the ways that they celebrate it. He says, for example, would anybody think that just because they pray to their idol, that we would be able to pray to Hashem? So the idea that just because they do something means that we can't do it can't be right. It has to be that if there's a logic to it, even though they do it, we're allowed to do it in our ways. And he says he's already written about that in a previous tshuva, in the first volume of Asei L'Charav, about flowers that have funeral. You might have said to yourself, flowers at a funeral. Non-Jews do flowers at a funeral. Idolaters do flowers at a funeral. So he says, it's no issue of b'chukotuchim lo telechu, if not following their ways, because there's a good reason to have flowers at the funeral. He doesn't tell us here in this tshuva what the reason is, but he says there's a good reason for it, and therefore, we don't have any problem with that. We are not prohibited from acting the same way they do, unless there's no reason for it. If there's no reason for it, then we're just imitating them. But where there isn't, there's a fine. But then he says, for all that there's no idolatrous element, and there's no b'chukotehem lo tilechu element, there's no prohibition of following their ways because it's not their ways we're following, he does say, though, but for all that they're not prohibited, they are, he says, holilut kaseirat ta'am. If they're just birthday parties, they have no meaning to them. They have no reason to them. They're lacking in any real meaning. And so he says, if it's children, so then, you know, we're going to make children happy. It's nice to make children happy. It's good to make children happy. And what's the problem? But with adults, having a birthday party, with there's no value to it, so there's no prohibition maybe, but there's no reason to it. But there are people, he says, who will make a birthday party b'shevach v'hodaya l'Hashem. They'll make it as a celebration and a thanks to Hashem for the year of life that they've been given. They make it a sudas mitzvah, by which he means that they're divrei Torah at the meal, real divrei Torah, like not just for the purpose of having divrei Torah. So he says that's a simcha shel mitzvah, he thinks. That's a, you know, that a person who is living longer and is having a chance to live a full and complete life realizes the merit that it is, the opportunities that it provides, and that is worth thanking Hashem for. And the Gemara, he says, tells that Rav Yosef, when he reached the age of 60, which in the time of the Gemara was not always as common as we would like it to be, he made a Yom Tov L'Chachamim, he made a celebration for his contemporaries, for his friends, to celebrate Hashem having granted him that much life so he could do mitzvos. L'chavos Yair, he says, actually held. Now, a person reaches the age of 70, he should make a bracha of Shechianu. It means an actual bracha, just for the fact of having reached the age of 70. So most authorities disagreed with him. We don't rule that way. But they did agree that you could do it without Shema Malchut. You could just say Baruch Shechianu. You could and should say Baruch Shechianu Kimanu L'zman Hazeh without using Hashem's name. And the Rebbe of the Chida, the Rav Sameach Nefesh wrote that when a person gets to 70, he quotes the Chavos Yair, and then he says, because there are people who disagree, he holds that a better idea, not even than just saying it without Hashem's name, is make sure for the 70th birthday to buy a new piece of clothing or find a new fruit and make sure to put it on and therefore make the Shechianu. And then he himself did that, and he also made a meal for other Torah scholars of that, it seems like of that time and age, but people were part of this and make a meal that way. The Bet Ishkai had written that he heard there are places where they make a party every year, a meal to celebrate it, but they make it not on the day of their birth, but on the day of their bris, and on the day that Shiniknesu Bo B'rito Shel Avram Avinu, and that it's a nice minhag, the Bet Ishkai says, because it celebrates not the technical physical fact of birth, but it celebrates the opportunity to be part of the Jewish people, part of the people that Hashem created with Abraham, and the covenant Hashem made up with Abraham. Many classes, but in his family they don't do it, but he thinks it's a nice minhag. So Rav Chaim David Halevi says, you see that there is a minhag, there is a custom to mark days around one's birth, if the year of 70, if it's 60, whatever it is, but or the day that one entered into the Brit of Avraham Avinu, to the covenant of Avraham Avinu. So he thinks you could do the same thing with birthday, as long as you do it the Ruach HaYahadut, as long as you're in a Jewish way, and then it could be even a mitzvah to do it that way, if it's made to thank Hashem with a meal and with Divrei Torah and things like that. Coming back to the other issues, that some brief issues to close off the tshuva. Maybe today I'll finish even a little earlier and I'll be able to save up for all those minutes I've cost you in previous other podcasts. If this is the only podcast you're listening to and I finish early, that would presumably mean you have to go back and find the longer ones and listen to those because you'll have extra time. In any case, so his other questions were, there's no prohibition, he says, to listen to classical music on its own. There's nothing wrong in classical music. Now, we don't know the question, so it's interesting to me if he means classical music, even that was written originally for church music, you know, Handel's Messiah or whatever it is, or, you know, there are pieces of classical music that are very well-known and very considered very beautiful, but that were written originally for church music, or it just means ordinary classical music. But in any case, he says, that's fine as long as it doesn't take you away from Torah study or service of Hashem. Meaning if somebody says, I'm going to set aside time to listen to classical music when I could be doing other productive things, there Rav Chaim David Halevi is not willing to accept that. But if one is going to arrange it for the time when one is tired and one is using it to help rest oneself, one's body and soul, so that, he thinks, could be fine. And there's no problem with that. that is always a question to ask oneself. Am I doing it because it will be productive for other things and it's a means to an end? I'm enjoying it for itself too, but I'm doing it at times when it serves as a means to an end. So he says we should look carefully at the fifth chapter of Shmona Prakim. Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avot. He wrote eight chapters about how to develop one's soul in the proper way. So there the Rambam talks about the possibility of doing almost anything as an act of service of Hashem, because if it's always put into the rubric of figuring out how this will support and help my more direct service of Hashem, that too can be service of Hashem. And the Rambam quoted the Pasuk in Mishlei and interpreted it this way. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, "V'kol drachecha da'ehu, in all your ways know Hashem, v'hu yashir orchatecha, and Hashem will put your ways on the right path." So that's what the rabbi would recommend. That's what he's saying here. So there's nothing wrong with classical music, right? So if it's put into the framework of it will be a support and a help to one's avodah Hashem, then it could be a good thing, and then it could be part of an act of avodah Hashem itself. Because somebody says, "Well, I've worked hard today in whatever my work is that's the service of God, and now I'm so tired I can't do anything else, and I can either waste my time on nothing, or I can use classical music, which listening to will have whatever benefits classical music has." So there he thinks it's fine. Next issue was, during Chazarat HaShatz, I will confess that this is a personal issue for me. During Chazarat HaShatz, Rav Chaim David Levi held that one is required to listen to Chazarat HaShatz carefully, and therefore, he says, you're not allowed to make up davening. So let's say somebody came into davening a little bit late. This part, I try hard not to do. That's not what I meant. I just meant the part of listening to Chazarat HaShatz, but the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. Let's say somebody comes late, and there's all these halachos in Shulchan Aruch about how one is supposed to catch up, so one skips various things. So let's say one skips various things and is late because of that. So then, during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, they think to themselves, "Oh, here's where I can make it up." He says, "No, he thinks you have to be listening to the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. You're not allowed to make things up during that time." Then, finally, the last issue we'll have today is he holds, and this I think is well accepted, that one should attempt, although it's not recognized always by people, one should attempt to put one's davening in the morning as much as possible, as close to having woken up as possible, and not do anything else before davening. That's a Gemara in Brachos in Daf Hei Amud Bet. It talks about tefilati shetehei smucha limitati, that my prayer should be connected to and close. It's talking about Sama Amora there, who's saying that one of the things that's my merit is that I always made sure, and Rashi there explains, I was always careful that I didn't do anything before davening and not even to learn. When I got out of bed, I said Kriyat Shema and I davened, and that's what goes on. And then in Shulchan Aruch, in Orach Chaim Peitet, it says that as well. They really want, is not supposed to learn from when the time of Zman Tefillah has come up, and that's even for learning, let alone for other kinds of things, which would seem to be prohibited for a person. The Gemara in Yedalat Amud Aleph says that you're not allowed to do your own chafatzim kodem shit palel, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way as well. So this gets a little complicated when there's a minyan that one tends to go to. Let's say one has a minyan that's their minyan. You know, there's a 7:30 in the morning minyan, or a Shabbos morning, even more so. There's a 9 o'clock in the morning minyan, or an 8:45 minyan, or 8:30, whatever the time of the minyan is. But somebody tends to get up much earlier. What does one do with that time? So that's I think there's room for complications there, for that there. And that sort of plays into this question as well, because the question was, can the person go for his morning run before davening? So Rav Chaim David Levi says, from all those sources which say you should daven as soon as you wake up, it would seem not. So if a person is going to daven on their own for whatever reason, they're not going to join a minyan, the reasoning would seem to be, well, so get up, daven first, and then go for your run. So whatever the reason was, here, person wanted to run. So then Rav Chaim David says, but if you tell me that the running in the morning is for your health, and let's say there's even some specific medical condition that requires you to run, there's something your doctor specifically said to you, you have a specific need to make sure you go running and take care of your health. So he says he thinks there's room to be matter to allow it if you just say Birchot HaShachar, the brachot, those early brachot, the morning brachot right at the beginning of davening, and maybe a little bit of Pesukah Zimra. If it's very hard for you that after davening you don't have the time to run, and then he gives some other sources, so then he thinks there's room to say it. And Hashem is Doresh Levavot. Hashem will know what's in your heart and know what you want to do. So fundamentally, the fundamental issue, even if we find ways around it, I think the fundamental issue is one that's not always known, that we're supposed to daven as close to waking up as we can. There are things that might get in the way of that. So, for example, I think going to a particular minyan that is the minyan this person likes might be one such thing, but there are issues with, it's not even clear that one is supposed to learn, as one is allowed to learn before davening in the morning, with whatever exceptions, so that would be true of running as well, unless the running is for one's health, and it would be very difficult after davening to run, so that's what Rav Chaim Dovid passed. So main issue is birthdays and how to properly celebrate one's birthday. L'ruach halachavia hadu, according to the spirit of Judaism and of the Torah. And then a couple of other issues that come up, and that is our responsible day for the 8th of Elul. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again. Have a great day.